good morning. Hee-haw. It's good that we're here on this Rally Day Sunday. Now, this is a rally day unlike any other, but then it's 2020 and all bets are off in 2020. But I am confident that 2020 will ultimately give way to 2021, and I am confident that we will continue our journey together as God's people. Loved, forgiven, and never alone, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What do we need to know and remember about Trinity Lutheran Church and our place? Well, this song offers us at least a partial answer to that question. Mine is the church where everybody's welcome. I know it's true because I got through the door. Let's sing along with Carl as we worship on this rally day. Thank you, Carl. What a fantastic reminder that we are not gatekeepers. No, we are simply the servants who set the table. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Give us joy. Give us peace. Give us courage. Give us hope. May we worship, love, live, and serve in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading today describes the closing scene in one of the great stories in human history. Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, is taken to Egypt, where he becomes a big shot, Pharaoh's right-hand man, yes, the prince of Egypt. When hard times hit, the brothers come to Egypt begging. Will Joseph exact his revenge? Will Joseph pay them back for their betrayal? Well, let's listen now as George Fisher reads our lesson for us. George?
Good morning. This reading is from Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, George. George serves on our church council. That means that he is hosting a rally day party this morning at Trinity Lutheran Church. We appreciate your service, George. All of our love to Carol. The world is kind of crazy right now. I think we can all agree on that. There are so many voices that are calling for our attention. So what kind of work will we be about? What will we stand for? Carl is going to sing a David Roth song for us now, a beautiful song that encourages us to stand for love. Carl?
I stand for love, I stand for peace, I stand for joy and for release, for what is beautiful and true. I stand for hope, I stand for you, I stand for love, I stand for peace, I stand for joy and for release. For what is beautiful and true, I stand for hope, I stand for you. You know our world is in great pain, she needs our loving care again. But there are those who fail to see what we have done and what we need. There is a cost for every act, and now there is no turning back. We burn a bridge, we bang a drum. It's time to rise, the time has come to stand for love, to stand for peace, to stand for joy and for relief. For what is beautiful and true, to stand for hope, to stand for you. If you're thinking it's not urgent, that we've got more time to kill, if I'm not the one who'll change things, then for heaven's sake, who will? I will move and I will climb that mountain one step at a time. I won't be swayed, I will not stop until we've made it to the top, where we will stand for love and peace, we'll stand for joy and for relief. For what is beautiful and true, we'll stand for hope, we'll stand for you. For what is beautiful and true, I stand for hope, I stand for you.
Thank you, Carl, and thank you to our friend David Roth. David would have been with us at Trinity Lutheran Church this spring for a concert, but thanks to 2020, he has been locked down on Cape Cod. Thanks, David. Be well. Joseph wept with the brothers that had betrayed him. Joseph wept with his brothers and said to them, "Have no fear, I will provide for you and for your children." Hear now the words of Jesus. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our sins." What's the next line? "Forgive our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus had just finished telling his followers how to deal with conflict. The sermon last week, you may remember, was titled, "One, Two, Three, Let Them Have It." In case of conflict, one, talk face to face. If there is no resolution, two, seek reconciliation in a small group. Still no resolution? Three, seek reconciliation through the church. One, two, three. If they all three fail, then you can let them have it. You can treat them, Jesus said, like Gentiles and tax collectors. Well, that sounds good, but Jesus spent a lot of time with Gentiles and tax collectors. Therefore, let them have it really meant double your efforts to be respectful and kind. Continue to seek reconciliation. Never give up. Do not let your hearts be hardened. Now, Peter had been listening, and Peter had been taking notes. He was going to be the first pope, after all, and leading religious people is a very dangerous undertaking. He was going to need those notes. And so Peter sat at the feet of his rabbi, Jesus, and now as he took notes, he was looking for a practical application. Grace, 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 grace. I got it, Jesus. But there must be a point when grace gives way to the law, right? There need to be some limits, right? And Peter wanted to be sure that he understood where to draw the line. So Peter addressed Jesus, saying, "Lord, unfortunately, I get this forgiveness thing, but tell me, just so I know, how often should I forgive?" Now, most rabbis in Jesus' day would have said, "You shall forgive three times." Three times is fair. It's more than fair. Three times would show that you are patient, you are graceful. Three times is enough. But Peter knew Jesus. He had been around Jesus for 3 years now. He had seen Jesus in action, and he was beginning to get this grace thing. So Peter decided that he would double down on grace. He would assume that he was to be extra generous, over the top generous. Grace times two plus one. "Jesus, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Well, when Peter said this, the other disciples shook their head. They said, "There goes Peter again. He is such a brown nose. He's such a show off." Jesus said, "No, Peter. No, not seven times, but I tell you 70 times seven." Peter was now getting a headache, and he was sorry that he didn't even ask the question as he wrote the answer down in his notebook. Seven times 70? That is absurd. It is ridiculous. It is laughable. It is 490 times. Who could possibly keep track of that? Just think of the accounting, think of the record keeping, that it would demand reams of paper and lots of pencils. 490 times, that's once a week for 10 years. Are you kidding me, Jesus? But Jesus was just warming up. He said, let me tell you a story that will help you to understand exactly what I mean. It will help you to understand God's way. Jesus said, there once was a king. Kings, as you know, are all powerful. Well, this king wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. The first slave that was brought before the throne owed the king 10,000 talents. Wait, you're not laughing? Maybe I just can't hear you because you're not with me. Did you hear what I said? Well, I have to tell you that the disciples were laughing now as Jesus told this story. They were belly laughing. They were slapping their knees saying, that Jesus, he sure has a great sense of humor. You see, 10,000 talents was a laughable amount of money. King Herod, the real king, the one who built big palaces all over Israel, the real king had a total annual income of 900 talents. 10,000 talents? For the average worker, that would amount to roughly 150,000 years worth of labor. It would be equivalent to $10 billion today. You could buy a lot of camels and clay pots with money like that. It was a laughable amount. No slave could possibly get his hands on money like that, and no bank would approve that kind of a loan. And yet here he was before the king, and he owed 10,000 talents. He could not pay. Of course he could not pay. No one could possibly repay such a debt. Now the king, consistent with common practice, ordered that the man would be sold. Knowing that the sale would hardly put a dent into this enormous debt, he ordered too that his wife would be sold and his children be sold too. In fact, sell his car, sell his iPhone, sell everything until the payment has been made in full. So the slave fell down on his knees. Desperate times call for desperate measures. There is no pride when you are in a pickle like this, pleading for mercy. The slave said, please, dear king, I beg of you, have mercy on me, show patience with me, and I will repay you everything that I owe. Remember now, the balance on his Visa bill was $10 billion. To think that he could repay was absurd, to say the least. Now, except for the muffled laughter, the throne room was silent. Then the unexpected happened. The king took pity on him. The king ordered the slave to be released, and he pronounced the forgiveness of all of his debt. It was shocking, but not as shocking as what happened next. The slave left the courtroom with a bounce in his step. It was as if the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders, as if he had just won the lottery. Bounding down the stairs of the palace, the slave noticed something out of the corner of his eye. Was that who he thought it was? Yes, it was a fellow slave, and that bum owed him 100 denarii. Now the disciples laughed as the master storyteller, Jesus, continued. Oh, if you were wondering, 100 denarii would be about $17, maybe 20, depending on the exchange rate. The forgiven slave seized the man by the throat, and he demanded to be paid. Pay what you owe to me, you slacker, or I'll send you off to prison and your wife and your children. And the terrified man fell on his knees, trembling, and begged, saying, "Please, sir, have patience with me, and I promise that I will repay you every cent. I will sell my Keurig tomorrow on Drew's list, and I'll pay you the money that I owe you." Now, the request was beyond reasonable. Remember, he only owed him $17 to $20. But the forgiven slave would not hear of it. He was not in the mood to show mercy. He had the man thrown into prison, and there he would remain until he could repay his debt. Now, when the king heard about this, he was outraged, as you might imagine, and so was everyone else who heard this. The king summoned him back to the throne room, and the king let him have it. He said, "You bum, you miserable, ungrateful bum, I forgave you the national debt, and you could not show mercy over a lousy 20 bucks. I had mercy on you. Could you not, in return, have found it in your heart to forgive this man?" There was no response. What response could there be? The king demanded now that this man be taken from his sight, taken to the darkest dungeon of the prison and be tortured, tortured until he could repay his entire debt, knowing that if he worked for eternity, he would never even be able to make the minimum payment on his Visa card. Jesus stopped now. He looked out at the horrified faces of his followers. And Peter was there, yes, Peter who had asked how often they were expected to forgive the bums in their own lives. Jesus closed his lecture by saying, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you do not forgive your sister or brother from your heart." Now, before we bring this story home, let's think about what might have been, what could have been. Think of what a different story this would have been if the forgiven slave would have left that palace with the weight of the world off his shoulders and a bounce in his step, and upon meeting that other servant, the one who owed him $17, instead of choking him and demanding payment, he would have simply put his arms around him and said, "Hey, my friend, about the 20 bucks you owe me, well, forget about it. Don't worry about it. Take your family out to dinner, or better yet, let's have a party together, and it's on me. Let's have a party so I can share my good fortune with everyone, for the king has forgiven me an enormous debt." Now, if the story had ended this way, no one would have been in prison. No one would have been tortured. There would be two happy servants. There would be two happy wives, two happy families, and on the throne there would be a very happy king. But it was not to be. The forgiven slave never truly experienced his own forgiveness because he couldn't share it with others. The joy of forgiveness was lost by the trivial greed which consumed him. And the parable ended with two unhappy slaves and two unhappy wives and two unhappy families and one very unhappy king. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. No, Peter, we cannot keep score and experience abundant life. Keeping score of others' mistakes, keeping track of all the wrongs that people have done to us is a time-consuming, energy-draining, life-taking task. We simply don't have the time to count to seven, much less to 490. And if we find the time, if we find the energy to track others' offenses, to keep score, to hold on to grudges, then we have a job. Yes, we have a full-time job for life. What are we? We are a jail keeper, holding others in bondage. We will not let them go until their debt to us has been paid. But the joke's on us. You see, in fact, there's no one in the jail cell. No, we find ourselves guarding an empty cell. If we cannot let go, if we cannot forgive, then we have sentenced ourselves. We are destined to live out our days in a prison of our own making. Alone in a prison of bitterness and vengeance. Alone, that's right. Those who have betrayed us, they're not there. They don't care if they offended us, or they don't know that they offended us, or they were simply never taught how to apologize, how to take responsibility for their own actions. But if we are waiting for them to come groveling at our feet, then we are likely to waste our lives and eternity waiting for something that's never going to happen. If we cannot forgive, if we cannot let go, then we will live in the past while drinking daily of the poison of bitterness. My friends, hear this very clearly. God has forgiven you all of your sins. God has wiped the slate clean. Your $10 billion debt has been forgiven. But I want to ask you, can you now let go of the 20 bucks that's owed to you by your first husband or by your parents who did the best they could or didn't, but were less than perfect? Can you let go of the 20 bucks that's owed to you by your neighbor whose tree blocks your view, or by the ungrateful child who never calls home unless they need another 20 bucks? How do you want to live the rest of your life? I want to encourage you to choose your profession and to choose it carefully. Do you want to be a jailkeeper, a scorekeeper, a historian who carefully chronicles every offense? Or would you rather work at the publisher's clearinghouse, joyfully handing out big checks and giving people new beginnings, spreading the king's grace and generosity to all people? I'd like to end quickly with three images that you might remember long after you've forgotten this sermon. The first is it's a scorebook. A scorebook. They have them for athletic events. This is a scorebook. You can keep track of every offense and every slight that everyone has ever done to you. Every way that anyone has ever hurt you, you can write it down in this scorebook. You can keep it by your bed at night and check it right before you go to sleep, and it will guarantee you a bitter night's sleep. Not a better night's sleep, a bitter night's sleep. The second thing I have is a bag of rocks. A bag of rocks. Try this one, if you will. Go ahead and have a bag of rocks and write the name on the rock of those who have offended you. And then take those with you everywhere you go. All those rocks. You get the idea. You take the rocks with you everywhere you go. Fill that bag up. Do not let them get away with it. Take them with you, those rocks. Take them to dinner. Take them to the park with you for a picnic. Take them on vacation. That will show them, won't it? Carry this bag around, and it will guarantee you a bad back and a bad attitude. Or try this. You all have phones, right? And you have photos on your phones. Don't trust your bitterness to your own fading memory. No. Rather, fill up your phone with the mug shots of the bums who owe you money or owe you an apology. Don't let them get away with it. Have their picture right on your phone so you can be reminded always of what they did to you, and you can take them with you wherever you go. You see what I'm getting at? I'm encouraging you to choose your profession. Do you want to be a scorekeeper, a rock collector, or a jailkeeper? Or do you want to walk with a bounce in your step following Jesus Christ? Jesus, who said, Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now our hymn of the day from Canadian songwriter Linnea Good, How Then Shall I Live?
Took a walk outside of my walking, stepped inside another shoe. Walked the dusty borders between us, paths I'd never chosen to choose. How then shall I live? How then shall I live? How then shall I live? Oh God, how then shall I live? Heard a sign outside of my listening, felt the living hum of the ground, waited on the voice of the Spirit, singing with its new old sound. How then shall I live? How then shall I live? How then shall I live? Oh God, how then shall I live? Saw the world outside of my looking, gazed upon the eyes of its soul, held the hopes and fears of tomorrow, found the pieces making the whole. How then shall I live?
Some prayers to God now. At this time, each petition will lead us to our sung response. Turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
Gracious God, we give thanks for your enduring love and unending grace. Sustain us when we are feeling weary and anxious. Inspire us to be your hands and voice in the world, seeking justice and peace for all. Hear us as we turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
We lift up all who are feeling the pain and injustice of racism and prejudice. Give us strength to stand up for what is right, fighting for peace and righteousness. Help us to overwhelm the hatred and pain in this world with your love and compassion. Hear us as we turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
We pray for all who are affected by wildfires and natural disasters. Be with our firefighters and first responders as they work to help those in need. Support those who have lost homes and possessions and give them strength to start again. Be with all who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Wrap them in your gentle embrace. Hear us as we turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
We lift up your children who are feeling anxious and weary with the ongoing pandemic. Be with all who are sick, offering them comfort and healing. Be with students, teachers, and families as school resumes in many different forms. Sustain them with patience and flexibility. Hear us as we turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
We pray for those who are experiencing injury or illness in body, mind, or spirit. Carry them in your healing embrace. Bring your light and grace into our lives, easing our anxiety and discomfort. Be with caregivers and all who are supporting friends and family. Sustain them in your strength and power. Hear us as we turn it over to Jesus.
Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace this morning. And if you are alone, know that you are not alone. You are loved, and your church family is here for you.
Peace be with you, and also with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
May the grace and peace of the Lord be with you.
Just a few announcements today as you're watching this service, perhaps. Rally Day is going on at the church. We're having a festive rally day in the parking lot today. This will lead us into all of our fall programming, Zoom Bible study with Pastor Eric this Wednesday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday. And the adult forum will start as well next Sunday morning by Zoom at 9:30 every Sunday morning. The flowers are given today by Paul and Sue Kukuk in recognition and in thanksgiving for 50 years of marriage, their 50th wedding anniversary. We dedicate our gifts and our entire lives to God now as we pray together, singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now
now as you depart from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with mercy and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our theme for Rally Day was a country western theme. People in cowboy boots and hats this morning. And our closing hymn ties into that very nicely. Our closing hymn is Happy Trails to You Until We Meet Again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you, keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Some trails are happy ones, others are blue. It's the way you ride the trail that counts. Here's a happy one for you. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you, keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Until we meet.
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. As the postlude is being played now, we will be seeing images of our last baptism last Sunday as little Blakely Joanne Shelton was baptized in the courtyard at Trinity Lutheran Church, daughter of Jamie and Justin Shelton, and little sister of Jackson, who helped with the baptism.
Lay your burdens down, sing your own life's part, and there where your treasure lies, there is your heart. Clouds hanging low in the sky, wind comes a-circling by. How can we savor the wonder of this day? Laughter that dances on air, if you had only one prayer, would that a thank you might be all you'd say. So lay your burdens down, sing your own life's part, and there where your treasure lies, there is your heart. Mornings do melt into day, life is a moment's delay. How can we hold to the things we have no touch? Money and talent and time, these are the gifts of our kind, offerings here to a life we love so much. Lay your burdens down, sing your own life's part, and there where your treasure lies, there. Water and air that are clean, space for the children to dream. Each of us cradles the vision of how this could be. Shower your vision with care. Offer to God with your prayer, your money, your talent, your time, gratefully. Treasure life.